Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to Dice of the World, the queerest Pathfinder podcast on the planet, where we ask the hard questions like, do troll hounds go to heaven?
Yes, they do. All fucking dogs go to heaven unless they're class traitors.
Except for those bastards in the Paw Patrol. My answer is no, troll hounds do not go to heaven.
What's the problem?
Where do you draw the line?
Nowhere. Why would you?
All dogs go to heaven. Where is the line? Do troll hounds count as dogs to go to heaven?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure they do.
Next question then. Do wolves count as dogs to go to heaven?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I'm going to start straying further and further away from
the genus of Canaan. You sound like a fucking villain right now.
Do hyenas go to heaven?
Yes.
Hyenas are more closely related to cats. Do cats go to heaven?
Yes.
Okay. You factually know that is not true.
How
I do
fucking
know it's true.
Dare you, actually?
I am a cat person. I love cats. I am fully aware that not all cats go to heaven. Out of choice.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Sending a cat to heaven sometimes would be worse than sending them to hell. Do tigers go to heaven? Do tigers go to heaven? Do all tigers go to heaven?
I guess if they want to.
Even the man-eating ones? The little ones? The ones that, like, eat
They don't
children?
Know any better.
They're
they didn't do
to
that
survive.
Out of evil.
Okay. Do Rakshasas go to heaven? Rakshasas being tiger-headed fiends that eat children.
Okay, well, the line is that they have to be a fucking animal.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, the line is, like, because the reason that animals go to heaven is because they don't know right from wrong. They're just doing
bull
their thing.
And shit.
Oh,
bull
my.
And shit. You look me in the eye and tell me a pig doesn't know better.
Pigs are
those
just,
motherfuckers.
They don't know
better.
They're
pigs,
fucking
pigs.
They
do anything wrong? What the fuck are they doing?
Pigs are capable of sin. Pigs
Certain
are capable
ones.
Of sin. All of them. All my you motherfuckers. My dad grew up on a farm and the horror stories he had about the fucking
They're
pigs.
Just hungry. They're just hungry and they want to waddle around and be fat.
Torture!
Torture?
Pigs
okay,
are capable
wait,
of torture.
Hold on. Hold on, wait. I agree to you to some extent. I think dolphins should go to hell.
I also, hell. I actually
okay, yeah,
do agree right. because
okay.
because of what I know about dolphins, I yeah. think that dolphins know right from wrong, and that is, and I don't think that they go to hell.
So, to summarize, the line in do all dogs go to heaven, the answer that you are presenting to me is yes, except dolphins.
Okay, and some chimps.
And some chimps. And pigs. Can we please send all pigs to hell?
Not all of them.
They're literally not bad. They're
capable
fine.
Of
yeah.
torture.
What about...
Motherfucker.
What the okay.
They
Fuck
kept
you.
That
Fuck
lamb
you.
Alive. They Fuck kept you. It alive. They are capable of sin. Would we like to play some Pathfinder?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, previously in Fists of the Ruby Phoenix... Our heroes traveled over the flying mountains of the Wall of Heaven and slowly but surely made their way towards the Raisho Monastery, an isolated monastery at the foot of the mountains where they encountered a strange monk named Seyan. When they arrived, they found that they were not the only adventurers there. The Arms of Balance were also here, but unlike the Radiant Winds, they were here for simply to seek information, not to uncover the Raisho dance that the Radiant Winds were here for. After training alongside them and doing some tasks, they were granted an audience with the abbot of the monastery. An abbot who, it very quickly became evident, was the current life of Seyan. Through some mumbo-jumbo time bullshit that some sirens can do through the power of reincarnation. Amen. In order to get the information about the Raisho dance that you so seek, you're going to have to best the abbot and Seyan in combat. Everyone, okay. Would you like to hop into character?
Sure.
A Brett in, a Brett out. Blue smoke comes from the nostrils of Abbot Sujan as she stands in the middle of this dojo. The smoke, it comes from her nose and drifts through the air, circling around the blue-skinned Samsaran Leyan and entering into his mouth. The two of them exist in a chrono-tandem, a past life and a present life standing here together. Standing alongside you is Bhavana Waragase, the Suli leader of the Arms of Balance. Lightning crackles around her eyes as she prepares to aid you in combat against the abbot and her past life. As Seyan drops into a fighting stance, Abbot Sujan moves around her prayer staff, allowing the rattles on the end to chime out. She enters into a combat stance and looks down all of you. Everyone, I'd like you all to roll initiative. And Chiji, I'd like you to make me a will save, please.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yeah, you need to make him a will save specifically, Chuji.
Oh, good.
All right.
Okay. She, Chuji.
Uh-huh.
Top of the round. As you stare down the abbot and their past life, getting ready to get into a fighting stance, something happens.
Uh-huh.
Your hand reaches into the pocket and pulls out the bellicose dagger.
Oh, fuck me.
You take one action doing so.
Oh,
you son of a bitch. You
no.
took my action?
Oh,
technically,
that sucks.
You took the action because you didn't roll very high.
Okay.
That blows.
So.
It's a free action to drop it, right?
It is a free action to drop, yes.
Well, that's funny, isn't it?
No.
Dairy.
No way.
It's not getting out of your hand.
Oh,
it
my
won't leave.
God. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a cursed item. You're like shaking it to try to get out, but it won't leave.
My god.
You're just like biting at it, trying to pull it out of their fucking hand. Okay. Well. Looking on the bright side. it's a plus 32 to strike with it.
Yep.
That's not bad. That's like my regular fist.
It also does have the fearsome rune, which is nice. It will scare people when you use it.
Okay, well, I guess Chuji's running wildly with a fucking knife now.
What do you have?
A knife!
No!
I guess... Actually, you know what? They don't go after the abbot, they go after Seyan because they think it's funny to scare him.
Oh, Jesus.
Chuji's gonna run up, and that's one action, and then they're gonna attack, and that's their last action.
Well, make me that attack roll.
I did. That's a 44.
A 44 against Seyan. Mm-hmm. That is going to be a hit. Nice work.
I had no choice. 20 damage.
Okay, Chuji, you rush at Seyan and you slash him with your knife and blood splatters out of him into your face. And in your head, you only have one thought and it's war.
What the fuck? They scream a little bit?
Seyan, for what it's worth, doesn't really flinch. He okay. almost seems to be in like a battle trance.
Huh.
Is that your turn, Chuji?
I guess.
Cool, this happens. He takes the 20 damage. And he kind of like looks at you. And he speaks, but as he does, so too does the abbot in the same voice.
Very good. Keep it up. See if you can keep pace with us.
And next is gonna be Bhavana's turn. Bhavana, what I guess, kind of like inhales and exhales. She's a little bit out of her depth here. This whole do everything as it comes stuff is kind of new to her. But she is going to rush forward. And I think she's going to spend two actions running up so that she is behind Sayan. And she's flanking with you, Chuji. Hmm. And she kind of like skids, and as she gets to the end of her like her dash, she kind of squats and then throws a roundhouse kick into the back of Sayan.
Slay.
And that is going to be a critical miss.
Ooh.
She rushes forward, and you know that Bhavana is an extremely competent fighter. So I think it is extremely startling, Chuji, for you to see Sayan turn around and almost like on instinct block that attack and launch a grapple attempt which got too close.
Holy shit.
So Sayan is going to try to grab her for free. And that is going to be a 38 against her fortitude DC, which is just a miss. Just a miss. She almost gets pulled into this like fucking martial arts grip, and she stumbles back a little bit, eyes wide, before lightning crackles in her eyes, and she's ready to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It is Abbot Sujon's turn, and very calmly, she takes a few steps back. And she is going to enter a stance. She is getting into Crying Bell stance.
Cool.
You see her raise her prayer staff, and with those like bells on the end, she kind of spins it around, and it makes the sound of a monastery bell, like it, obviously in much smaller scale. And she cups her hand into a ball, and she's going to make a temple bell strike at you, Chuji, because you're closest. And note that I said she steps away. That's because the temple bell strike, as she thrusts a palm forward, reverberates the sound of her prayer staff into a gong.
Ooh.
And it shoots a sonic blast at you, Chuji, across the room, and that is a 45 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
Okay. That is gonna be 30 damage, Chuji.
Ow.
You take that. Fuck yeah. And she sighs almost contently and says, true, a voice that again comes through her mouth and Sayan's. Good.
This fight is going exactly as I remember it. It's good to fight you again, Chuji.
Again?
Before you can get any explanation, Sanku, it's your turn. Golly!
What the fuck?
I think Sanku is going to... I think he's going to go straight to Abbot Sujon. I think he's going to just immediately cast Hydraulic Push. Is it level 9? Yes, but also... I like it. So... deal with it.
Well, go for it.
35.
Okay. So, Sanku, unfortunately, something interesting happens. So 35 is obviously going to be a miss.
Uh-huh.
What you don't expect is for her to catch the fucking hydraulic push in her cupped hand.
Okay.
Crying Bell stance increases your AC against range attacks. And she has captured your spell in her hand, making this a critical failure. And Sanku, she grabs that spell and she shoots ki energy through her hand into you with electrical feedback. So you're going to take 66 electric damage, Sanku.
Okay.
That's going to be 24 electric damage to you, Sanku. You have two actions left. I like to say that when you fail a spell, it only uses up one action because otherwise rip doing anything on your turn. You have two actions left. What do you do?
I'm going to use Frigid Flurry on...
okay.
On our resident gay twink. He's not a twink. I just called him that out of habit.
Sayan?
Yeah, on Sayan.
He's a twink.
Godspeed. and that's that doesn't damage any of my allies.
Yeah, it'll slink around them.
I need a reflex save.
So Sanku, that's going to be a success from him, which is very scary because he got a 39, and the roll he rolled was a 3. So he kind of like, I think you blast wind, And I think what happens is that he literally dodges individual snowflakes Matrix style, which is extremely impressive considering Chuji is blocking his line of sight.
Mm-hmm. He'll still take half of this. So half of 72.
Yeah, not bad. He takes that. That's 35 damage. And as this happens, he and Sujan speak again, and they say,
"Excellent work, young Sanku. You are doing very well. But keep up the pressure, even when things don't work out the first way."
Sanku, on your shoulder, Lola says, "The audacity to be teaching my pupil."
I don't think he likes being patronized. I think he's actually really mad.
Is that your turn, Sanku?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is Seiyan's turn. And Seiyan is in your face, Chuji, going to enter into falling Sal stance. And he kind of moves his hands and joins the palms together in the shape of a Sal flower, like the one that you saw in the tree outside, the one that's frozen in time. And he, as he does it, putting his palms together, he evokes the truth that all things eventually decay. And the Sal Blossom Strike he's going to launch at you is going to be this. Does a 50 hit.
It sure does.
Well, as he brings his palms, he kind of unwinds them and punches into you extremely fast, and does 38 nothing damage.
What?
It doesn't hurt you.
What the fuck? What does it do to me?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's negative damage. Seiyan's eyes widen a little bit.
Dipshit, I'm a deaf ear.
He sighs and says,
I should have seen that one coming. Oh well.
And twisting around, he's going to launch a second punch now, this time at Bhavana. And that one is going to be... that's going to be a 42 to hit, which is a hit. And he launches another Sal Blossom attack into her, doing a total of 26 negative damage to her. Bhavana is knocked back a little bit, but she shakes her head and says, Radiant Winds, come on, we've got this. Masami, it's your turn. Do you've got this?
I think they've got this. They're gonna go for the Abbot immediately. They're going to use their first action to run up directly in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
With a spell strike.
Okay. Fuck yeah, which spell strike?
Cast into time.
Well, isn't that fun? Isn't that thematic? Isn't that fun and thematic? Yeah. Fuck it. Hit her!
It's a 49.
A 49 is a hit, Masami. Roll damage.
Damage from the sword is 22.
Okay, 22 damage. She takes that.
Does she need to make the fortitude save from casting the time?
No. If you hit her with casting the time, with a spell strike, it'll just do it. So what happens?
Cool. So, release a wave of temporal energy that sends the creature violently tumbling through time, scarring their thoughts with the information flowing around them. Witnessing the chaotic flow of time being bashed against objects from different times deals 5d8 mental, 5d6 bludgeoning with a fortitude save.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's just going to take that damage.
Then she takes 56 damage.
Woof! Okay. And because she failed, she's also sickened, right?
Yes.
Wow! Yikes! Spellstrike really does say go fuck yourself, huh?
Yeah, thank God. My action economy would be horrible if not.
So Masami, how does this look as you strike into her?
Once the strike hits, I think it's like a sort of like a sonic boom around her.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else can't see what's going on when Cast into Time is like cast, except for her. And she's just being blasted with different memories. I think from just different past lives other than Seiyan.
I love that. So, like, we see Abbot Sujan stumble back, and this, like, bald old lady, she, like, vanishes for a moment, right? Because Castle in Time literally takes you out of there.
Yeah.
And then when she resurfaces, like, she has seen countless past lives. She's already very in tune with them. So she sees them in detail. She relives many of them all at once, and it is very, very distressing for her. But she kind of stumbles back and exhales a big puff of blue smoke, which wafts through the air towards Sian, who inhales deeply. And she says, "Yes, I remember seeing you do that one. So that's what it felt like. Very, very good." Is that your turn, Masami?
That's their turn, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, top of the order is Yushi Chuji. Fuck this knife, man.
Fuck this knife.
I will say, if you want to get rid of the knife, you can force yourself to make a will save.
I make another will save. 46.
46? Fuck yeah, Chuji, spike that knife on the floor.
Thank God. Okay, that's
fine. It lands blade into the bamboo floor beneath you, and you hear in your head again, "Roar."
What the fuck?
There's like, okay, a ghostly green glow coming off of it.
She's like, "Thank God." And they are going to enter Stoked Flame Stance for free.
Okay.
And they're going to... We're going to 2-action 1-inch punch, Sam.
Okay.
49?
Yeah, no, I'm having a problem with the animation module. It'll come back.
Kill yourself, Sam. 19. 48.
Okay, fuck yeah. He takes that 48 damage, and he is winded as you, like, karate chop him in the gut with your flashing spark. He lets it... And as he does, again, just like puffs of blue come out of his nose and kind of waft in the air, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have how many actions left?
That's it.
Okay, cool. He kind of like looks up at you and smiles and says,
I'll be sure to remember these, Shichuji.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
That is your turn, so it is now Bhavana's turn. Bhavana, behind Sayan, is going to... channel up a breath of the glacier. She inhales deeply, and icy cold air shoots through into her from a technique learned from her comrades. And she is going to take one action to step to the side so she doesn't catch you, Chuji. And then she is going to blast Sayan with a cold attack. And Sayan is going to need to make a fortitude save against this. And he gets a 45, which is going to be a success, but not a crit success, as Bhavana shoots out an icy blast into him. And that's going to be 10d6, or at least half of it. So that's going to be 37, half 37. That is 18 cold damage. She exhales and says, they're tough fighters, but we can do this. I know we can. And as she's saying this, just kind of cryptically, Seiya and Sujan both at the same time say,
They already have, and they already will someday.
Bhavana doesn't understand, but that's okay. She doesn't need to. It's Abbot Sujan's turn, and she smiles at you, Masami, and says,
All right. If you'd like to get up close and personal.
And she switches her grip. She drops a crying bell stance for a moment. And instead, she clutches that prayer staff in two hands. And she's going to deck the shit out of you, Masami, with...
All right.
With her Kakara, which is a real-life Buddhist prayer staff. You can look him up. It's got lots of rings on it. It's very cool. It is smashing into your face. That is going to be a 46 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. And that is going to be 29 bludgeoning damage as she bugs you across the face.
Okay.
And then she's going to try again. And the second one is going to be a 33 to hit.
Miss.
Okay. She swings once, swings twice, and I think you can't catch wise by the second one, right? You duck out of the way, and she just continues, like, approaching like this. Sanku, it is your turn. Grandma and Grandpa got hands. What do you do?
I think Sanku is going to, I think he's going to move Elemental Betrayal onto, Sayan.
Okay.
This time, with fire.
Okay.
And he's going to cast Fireball.
Okay, cool. Are you catching Shuji in a blast? How's this going to work?
Oh, I thought that I could do it kind of like...
Oh, are you going to catch it from behind? So like,
yeah.
So you carefully aim your staff and shoot it so you're not hitting Shuji. You're like catching behind Seiya.
I think he sort of uses, not math, but...
Trigonometry?
Is that what this is?
He's I would just say kinda... so. You're like carefully aiming. You know, you can like you measure with your staff before you carefully aim. You prepare. You think about like how far, like what's the arc of this thing going to be, and then you launch it, right?
I was thinking more that he's going to bounce it off the wall.
Oh, fuck yeah! I like it. Okay, go for it. He's gonna make a reflex save, right?
Yeah, and it's like the you know when there's like the fireworks that like whine on the way up. Like that. But yeah, I need a reflex save.
Okay, let's see. That's gonna be a 45 Sanku.
I mean, yeah, that saves. I actually think it's extremely hard for any of them not to save.
Yeah, so I think something you notice, Sanku, is that these two monks are ridiculously fast. You're starting to realize that reflex saves are going to be a difficult one to hit with these guys.
Oh yeah, I just don't have anything else.
That's fair. But a 45 is not a crit success, it is just a success. So roll me that damage and he'll take half of it.
Half of 51, so it'd be 26, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be 25 damage, Sanku. The fireball pings-pongs off the wall, but you see Seiyan trace it with his eyes and see this coming, and then like kind of do a flip through the fireworks. And obviously some still scorch him, but he lands on both feet, rises to his full height, and just inhales and exhales, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's an extra 10 damage from Elemental Betrayal. So while he does dodge most of this fire damage, you can see that he's starting to get injured. The volley of attacks is wearing down on him. Is that your turn, Sanku?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay. Well, it is gonna be Seiyan's turn. And Seiyan, knowing that he cannot hurt Shuji, is going to slip around him and run towards you, Sanku. So he dashes across the map towards you. It's actually frightening how fast he moves.
Scary.
I kill.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How come?
Standing still.
Okay, cool. You fucking clothesline him as he runs. Make me an attack roll against him.
41.
A 41 is going to be a miss. Seiyan, you like reach out to grab him, but Seiyan moves like in the blink of an eye, much faster than you would have expected. The Samsaren races across the map, inhales a big like smoke cloud into his mouth, snorts it out of his nostrils, gets into a stance, and Sanku, he is going to use a stunning flurry on you. And he's going to make two strikes against you using his Sal Blossom stance. So that is a 41 to hit you, Sanku?
Yeah, it hit me.
Well, in that case, he's going to do 26 bludgeoning damage as he kind of wrings his hands, and he doesn't really touch you that hard. It's more like he presses you in certain points, and it sends waves of decay through your body. Like, you feel your body dehydrate in spots, which is unpleasant. He's going to strike again a second time. Does a 46 hit you, Sanku?
Yeah.
That is going to be another 43 negative damage. Oh my god. He fucking lays into you, Sanku, and you can feel your life force being battered at directly. So, Sanku, that is going to be a total of 69 damage. Take a hero point!
Yay!
You're going to need it because you now need to make me a fortitude save.
38.
Okay, Sanku, unfortunately, that is going to not pass. You are stunned one. There is something affecting you now. You feel your body shutting down partially. You stumble backwards a little bit, and you are hurting. Like, this sucks. And Seiyan smiles just politely in your face and says,
It worked on you. That's good.
Okay.
So, Sanku, you will have one less action on your turn. Uh-huh. Masami, it is your turn. So you just heard Abutsu Jean say that, and I don't think you know what it means exactly, but you glance over your shoulder and you see Sanku's getting the absolute crap beat out of him by this guy. Abutsu Jean is smiling serenely as she twirls her prayer staff around, ready to smack you around with it. What do you do?
Alright, they're gonna go into Arcane Cascade.
Okay.
And I believe that this was mental or...
Okay, Masami, how does this Arcane Cascade look?
It's the crown with the eye on top of it.
Awesome, okay. Masami, you wear that, adorning yourself, and shit's fucked right now. What do you do?
Then they are going to disengage from this disengage from the abbot.
Mm-hmm.
Their boy is in trouble. They're going to disengage from the abbot and flank Sayam.
Okay.
And because they went to Arcane Cascade, they're going to spell strike again.
Okay, cool. What's a spell strike?
Probably like a gouging claw.
Okay, go for it.
44.
44 against Sayam. That is going to be a hit because he's being flanked. Wow, you are lucky.
Damage is 30.
Okay, he takes that damage.
Along with gouging claw, 34.
So that's a total of 64 damage?
Yep.
Okay. You lunge at Sayan and attack him, and you can see that you're really starting to, like, have an effect on him. Like, it's starting to hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right. I forgot. Also, because of fucking Arcane, because of the spell that I used, which I believe is Transmutation. Where's Arcane Shroud?
Yeah, it is a Transmutation. What happens?
I believe it's Fleet Step, but let me see.
Okay.
Yep, it gives me Fleet Step. So I have a plus 30-foot step bonus to my speed.
Jesus, okay, Masami. How does this look as you kind of, like, take a step back?
They look like they got hit with a haste spell. They are a lot faster. They're kind of shifting positions really quickly.
Ooh, I love it. Okay. Is that your turn, Masami?
That is their turn, yes.
Okay. Sayan doubles over, but he quickly gets back up, and it looks like he's moving his hands, preparing to cast something. You don't know what, but it looks like he's up to something. Chuji, it is your turn. Sayan ran away from you to start hitting Sanku, and now you can see the abbot is pointing her staff at you, getting ready to drop back into temple bell stance, which is not going to be fun for you. What happens? What's up?
Well, I switch into mountain stance.
Okay.
For free. Wink.
Okay.
And I'm going to rush at her. And flurry of blows.
Alright, you rush towards her, Abutsu Jean, who kind of smiles like she expected this to happen. She knew this was coming. She's seen it before.
Hate that. 42 and 46.
Yep, both of those are hits. Roll me that damage. And she'll have to make a 4G save to see if she's stunned, right?
Mm-hmm. So 21 and 21.
42 damage, very nice. And 42 save, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's still sickened from casting the time, so she's not really doing well with her force. That's gonna be a nat one! Chuji!
Let's see what happens on a nat one.
What
Hold
happens on.
On
a nat one with your stunning fist, huh?
On a critical failure, she's stunned 3.
She loses all of her actions next turn?
Yeah.
Okay, Chuji, yeah. How does this work? How do you fucking stun the hell out of the abbot?
I think that they honestly just come out of nowhere for her. Which is weird because mountain stance slows 2G down a little bit. I think feeling confident after not being able to be damaged by Sayang, they just power the fuck through it and uppercut the abbot so fucking hard it like dislodges something for a second.
Yeah, her eyes like fly open and she stumbles backwards, unable to speak. And I think she lets out like a gasp of smoke. And Sayan across the map flinches and looks over and says,
That's going to hurt one day.
And Chuji, is that your turn?
Technically, no, I have one more action.
You have another action left? Oh, God.
Yeah. Lol. LMAO. Yeah, Chuji's gonna just hit again.
Okay, so go for it. Smack her. This will be at minus 10.
Minus 10, yeah, you're right. Yeah, fuck it. Critical miss!
Surprising everyone! Attacking with a minus 10 led to a critical miss, Chuji.
You don't have to be mean about it.
With your critical miss, that is going to be frustration! You take a minus 2 to your attack rolls until the end of your next turn.
I'm not risking it all.
What happens here? Because she's completely unable to move. How'd you fuck this up?
They get too cocky. The rush was so good that they kind of it literally got to their head and they fucking just missed completely. They fucking whiffed the hell out of it.
She's literally a sitting duck and you miss completely.
Hey, shouldn't that have helped me on the fucking AC?
Unfortunately not.
Fuck you.
Is that your turn, Chuji?
Yeah.
Okay. Bavana rushes forward and flanks with you, dashing behind the abbot, and again throws a punch into the back of the abbot's head. That is going to be a critical failure. What the fuck? I think even though the abbot is completely comatose right now, I think on instinct her hand flies out and like blocks this attack. That leads for a bad jam. Bavana is clumsy 1 and enfeebled 2. She stumbles back, clutching around, going, ah! This doesn't make sense! And she doesn't, like, the abbot doesn't have the witty comeback. But it's actually amazing to see how well she is handling a world-class fighter like Bavana. And I think on her last turn, on her last action, Bavana is just going to enter Wild Wind Stance. She kind of like swifts around a little bit and she raises her hands and she starts sending out waves of energy through her. And she's going to be able to start doing all sorts of cool wind-powered stuff now. It's the abbot's turn. She stumbles around, unable to do anything. Senku, it's your turn! Sayan is in front of you. You are stunned. You only had two actions this turn because you just got like, you feel this like universal decay inside of you, like the feeling of the oncoming death of the universe, and I think that's like stopping you from fighting at your peak for a moment.
I think he gets scared and casts I think he casts a dragon form reflexively on Loa.
Okay. Well, Sanku, you getting scared certainly does that. And Lolo Sadagat suddenly rears up in full titanic size. A clash of thunder and a snarling of teeth. And Lolo Sadagat says, "Step away from my grandson." and Sayan looks up and says, Oh my. Lolo gets one action on his turn because he's independent. What does he do?
I think he is going to, I think he's going to attack Sayan. 44.
44 is a hit.
No.
That's going to be 3d12. Yeah, 3d12 plus, 3d12 plus 12 damage. What's up? Why are you laughing?
Because Dave used a melee attack.
Oh my fucking god.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's too bad I only did 46 damage. It's too bad. I wish that somebody else could come and help me.
Oh, but what if there was a follow-up? What if there was a nice follow-up? Because Misami is part rogue.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I like opportune backstab.
I like that you said part rogue, like it's in their race.
Yo! Nat 20.
Uh-oh! Misami, how does this look?
It's the classic fucking flash. You're right. You're on the other side of the person with the sword held up, and they're just on the floor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, roll me this damage. Let's see. Will this be enough to take out Sayan?
So 38.
38? Masami, you run him through your sword. And Sayan blinks. And he turns, and I think he bows. Before exploding into a cloud of smoke. That smoke wafts through the air past you, Masami, and Sanku. And flows towards the abbot, who inhales it through her nose. And her eyes open. And she's facing against you, Chuji. And she smiles. And she sits down. And she's there on the floor, legs crossed. And she smiles up at you.
What the hell are you doing?
You won.
No? What? Huh?
Sit, Chuji.
They look back at Senku and over at Masami.
Sayan's not there anymore, I guess.
Yeah, but...
And Lolo's, like, fucking dragon form. Like, you see Senku is, like, has these, like, glowing black spots all over his body. Like, in bruise shapes. Masami is, like, still in, like, Arcane Cascade mode. Lolo's a giant dragon. Bavana is behind her and, like, clutching her hand. And the abbot just sits and is immediately out of combat mode. Like, she doesn't even look like she was fighting a moment ago. She's just cross-legged on the floor with her staff in her hand.
Wait, so you're just done?
You passed a test.
Chuji is really unsatisfied with that.
You have to understand. My past lives and I are one. You weren't fighting two people. You were fighting one person. So, cool mechanic. They share HP.
Oh,
oh neat.
And when you took out Sayan, that's like, okay, cool. It's done.
Okay.
It was wonderful to fight you again, Chuji.
Wait, what do you mean again?
I already did hundreds of years ago. True Sayan.
Oh, right.
All of you, come close. You all did magnificent. And I believe I owe you some explanations and discussion, don't I?
A little bit.
Lolo's still fucking big.
Do you want Lolo to stay big?
He can turn small whenever he wants. Sanku's gonna start healing himself.
Lolo likes to be big. Comes up behind you.
Are you staying that size?
For as long as I can!
Okay.
Which is about...
Okay, just try not to squish us.
Which is about a minute, because he immediately turns back into baby Lolo. Abbot Sujuan kind of smiles. She is literally just sat cross-legged on the floor where she was in the middle of that fight. And she gestures for you all to come close. And I think Bavana looks at you, Chuji, with this face of like, what the hell is happening?
They're looking at Bavana with the same expression.
And the abbot just sits there and says, now... what is it that you all came here for?
Well, we were trying to summon the Celestial Dragon. We're trying to rescue the Ruby Phoenix. Because she got this... I don't even know how to describe what happened to her, but the only way that we can get her back is if we find her... And the Celestial Dragon seems to be our best bet on trying to find her.
She kind of looks into the air a little bit and says, so you're, what is it that you're asking exactly?
We need to know a dance that you know. It's a, what is it called again?
The Raisho dance.
Yeah, that.
She kind of smiles a little coyly and says, the dance you've been taught since you got here?
What?
Everything you've done has been
training for the Raisho dance.
How? Like, the tasks?
She, again, gives you that coy smile. This, like, badass, bald old granny smiles at you. And she says, "The dance is a long one, but it has steps that you've already performed. A sweeping of hands." She kind of cuts her hand through the air, kind of in the same way, Masami, that you cut down those trees. A spiraling of feet. And she kind of like waves her hand in the air like a spiral. And Chuji, in your heart, you know that is the exact same path that you chased that yak. The ringing of bells. And Sankyu, without without explaining it too much, you are fully aware of what that means. The bells that you rang. A combination of tales. And Masami, you think back to the sand that you worked with. And before all that, to prepare the dance itself. A battle among the greatest. She bows her head a little bit. Following this, I'll happily teach you in better detail the steps of the dance. But in short, it is that. All of those are the steps of the Raisho dance.
I see.
But this alone will not get you the dragon. I hope you are aware of this.
Oh, yeah. It just seemed like a good first step.
It is indeed. Now I must ask of you, have you got the other steps?
No.
No, not yet. We came not just for the dance, but also hoping that you might have some more information.
Ask away, and I shall respond.
What about the tree? What was it called?
The boundary tree.
Oh, yeah, that one.
There is one. One final of its kind remains here in the mountains. One of the last of its kind. But getting to it will not be an easy task. It remains in the Blasted Lands.
The Blasted Lands?
That crater that roars and roils. A prison for two of the most dangerous entities to ever cross through Tian Sha. And her eyes open, and she looks at you all and says, "Two eternally locked in combat kaiju."
Ah, jeez.
Would everyone like to make me a quick society check? And Chuji, I will let you specifically use Ruby Phoenix lore. It's not related to Ruby Phoenix exactly, but I'll let you use your information from the museum. Because I think you might actually know this story if you're lucky.
Okay. Here you go.
Okay. Chuji and Sankyu, you both know of this. Masami, you're not really aware of it. This is news to you. But Chuji and Sankyu, you two both from different sources know about this story. And I think that makes you go, ooh. Because, yes, centuries ago, there was a story of two kaiju. Alru, the earthbound kaiju of destruction, and Toraloa, the flying source of alien life.
What?
One.
These names are crazy.
The two of them are eternally locked in combat, one capable of infinite destruction, the other capable of infinite birth. And aeons ago, these two kaiju brawled across Tian Sha. They were only stopped when they were locked in a caldera, like a giant crater, and sealed there by a wish from the Celestial Dragon. And two things occur to you. Number one, Chuji, do you remember when you were on the Solar Jian and you saw these giant shapes in the clouds?
Uh-oh.
That was them. Alarin Talarora. the two dueling kaijus.
Oh my god.
The second thing that occurs to you is that that's where the boundary tree is.
Oh my god.
And you're going to have to go into it.
Chuji's got like their hands on their face, like dragging down, thinking about it. And they're like, ooh. Really, that's where?
Indeed, it is so.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah, sure. Fuck it, right? What about the intercessor, then? What do we do about that?
You wish to be named as the intercessors of the Celestial Dragon?
Can we be? Do we need to find someone?
Once upon a time, you would have only had to ask us.
Oh?
But I can no longer do this.
Why not?
There can only ever be two intercessors of the Celestial Dragon. One is the firstborn daughter of the ruler of Quain. This is not one we have any control of, and it is not one that shall be relinquished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
The other is meant to be a backup for years where there is no intercessor in the Quain dynasty. Once it was our sacred duty in the Rhystria Monastery to locate and confirm future celestial intercessors. We can only have one at a time, aside from the dynasty of Quain. And the temple bell lets out a dragon's roar when the previous holder has passed, indicating that the mantle is free for another. Our past intercessor, she died. But the bell still has not rung.
What?
Somewhere, she must still exist, holding the title. It cannot be passed on until she passes on.
So she's not dead.
And yet she does not live.
Is it possible that she's undead?
The abbot looks at you with like a wary eye, Senku, and I think that confirms everything you need to know.
Oh, boy. Do you have any way to locate this person, or...?
Yes, we know where she died.
Where did she die?
Jinhei. She loved her battles more than her studies. While there is righteousness in striking down the forces of evil, I feel she loved it more than was healthy. She eventually lost her life at Kaifen Bay, the black beach of the Wall of Heaven. What do you know of Kaifen Bay?
What do we know of Kaifen Bay?
Well, you can all roll me either a society check or a warfare lore check.
A flat check it is.
Chuji, you don't fucking know. Cool. Beach. Let's go. Let's go. I love the beach. Yeah. Beach episode. Let's go. Yeah. I love the beach.
Let's go to the beach, Ish. Let's go get away. Oh, God.
I hate you.
Senku, you don't really know much. But Masami, you know about Kaifen Bay. Or what you actually know it as isn't really that moniker. You know it as the Bay of Blades. Would you like to know why it's called the Bay of Blades?
I would love to, Derry.
That sand isn't black because it's sand.
Uh-huh.
It's black because it's made of the rubble of countless weapons.
That's actually really metal.
Isn't it fucking... literally, so it's very metal.
Kind of raw.
The Bay of Blades was once protected by a unique formation of naturally occurring basalt columns known as the Adamant Cousins. They were about to be destroyed by a massive earthquake, but they were saved by the interdimensional museum curator Hao Jin, the Ruby Phoenix. She saved these columns from destruction and put them in her tapestry. Though the exquisite natural formations remained safe,
Their disappearance left Kaifeng Bay exposed, and the bay became a strategic landing point for invading armies. Countless battles have been waged upon its shores, and the rusty weapons buried throughout the sand have since disintegrated and now give the bay its current moniker. Sick as fuck, right?
That's pretty
cool. Yeah, that's
cool.
Sick as fuck.
So, Masami, that's what you know. The others don't really.
Okay, so the Black Beach or the Bay of Blades, then. That's where we'll find her.
If you'll find her anywhere, it's most likely to be there, yes.
Okay.
Undead tend not to go too far unless they're being controlled, so best bet.
Yeah. Alright.
Cool.
With these three, you'll be able to summon the Celestial Dragon and continue your quest to rescue the Ruby Phoenix. But I have to ask... And she kind of, like, opens her eyes again. And there's this very... There's a look in her face, right? Like, a really... almost scary expression.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you willing to give up to get what you want?
I'm just here to help people.
That's not an answer to my question, Witch Prince. The journey ahead of you will require sacrifices. Are you willing to make them?
She asks an 18-year-old.
I don't know.
There's a lot riding on this, and there's a lot of people relying on us. If it means that the mission is complete, then yes. At least for me.
Chuji?
I'll lose a lot just to not lose. Yeah.
Good. Come outside. Let's teach you the Raisho dance. And with that, she kind of stands up. And she walks out of there. And I think Bhavana looks you all and kind of nods before following as well. She needs to go get her team back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys are left together for a moment.
Kind of spooky.
I don't like the word sacrifice being used there. I'm kind of worried.
I'd say don't worry about it, but I really don't know what's gonna happen.
Me either.
Whatever does happen, we're still a team. Which means we're going to get through this together.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not leaving.
Of course.
Does it matter the hardship? Even if there is a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
We have each other's backs. Always. Remember that.
The power of friendship.
Shut up.
I'm gonna murder your ass.
Oh my god. Derry, I have a question.
Yeah?
Is the knife back in Shuji's bag?
Is it? It's not gonna teleport back into your bag.
Yeah, but
it's shown up!
It has shown up before. What the fuck do you mean?
It's shown up in your hand.
It's come back.
It's shown up in your hand. You've never tried to get rid of it. The dagger is plunged into the floor.
Did you try throwing it away?
No.
Yeah, they did.
You literally did.
Yes,
you were
they
like,
did.
It'll probably come back if we try that. You've never actually tried to get rid of it.
No,
that
way.
Is actually true. I actually remember you saying that.
Mm-hmm. Chuji, you stand in front of the dagger, which is still plunged in the floor, and you hear again in your head, "War." The fuck do you do?
You look at it.
Why are you even looking at that thing again?
I don't know. What if...
You keep pulling that on people. I don't think it's a good idea.
So I never used it on someone unless
Shuji,
I did it on purpose.
If you keep using a knife on everyone, you're only going to hurt someone.
They take it.
You're so stupid and I love you very much, Ritz. Ritz and Asardus fight.
You're goading
me
on.
Man. Ritz and Asardus fight. Oh man, I can't believe I can't use my stance. Oh, I have to get this thing out of my hand. Ugh.
Ritz immediately after the fight. Oh man, sweet, a knife.
Oh man, a knife.
Who put this here?
God damn it.
Would you guys like to go outside and practice the Raisho dance?
Yeah. They go play DDO.
Okay. You guys practice with the Raisho Monastery. Jidung the Yeti is there. The rest of the Arms of Balance are here.
Woohoo!
Seon isn't here because he is just a manifestation of the distant past. Mm-hmm. And
he popped into smoke.
Yeah, he's smoke now.
I miss him.
But the abbot is slowly meditating, watching over you as you dance. And you know what? It is very similar to the movements of the tasks you've already done. So you know that to perform this dance with all this sweeps and swipes and twirls and just emptying your head completely, you need to do that and you need to have a fight to, like, trigger the start of the dance in, like, in the ritual itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you'll have to come up with later, you know, like, who you fight against. It's probably fine if you even just spar against each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it takes you the rest of the day. But by the end of it, you know it.
Dice Will Roll will return after these messages.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We now return to Dice Will Roll.
As the moon is, like, rising into the sky, and it's getting very cold, the Arms of Balance kind of approach you. And Bhavana smiles sheepishly, and she says, Radiant Winds, wait, before you leave.
Hmm?
I wanted to say thank you. We all did.
Well, it's no problem, really. Always, always there to help.
No, not with the tasks. And I think Sunita kind of exhales, like, a little dramatically. And she says, we came here because we thought we'd learned everything there was to learn. We thought our studies were over. That we were the best of the best. And Raunak kind of, like, stretches and says, but turns out, as soon as something we've never prepared for comes up, we fall apart. And that's something we were never aware of until we came here. And Bumat chimes in with, until we met you, Tree. And Bhavana steps forward and bows a bit and says, we just want to say that you can always count on the Arms of Balance to help you with anything. You have our allegiance.
Thank you.
And I think Bhavana kind of smiles and, just before you leave, you hear a and walking through the snow towards you all as you approach the gate is Seon.
Oh.
You're back?
Hi.
Seon smiles and says, don't mind me. She knew that I would miss you terribly. I have something for you all. And he pulls out a coffer and he holds it out in front of you all. And he says, these are some treasures that the monastery have gathered over the many, many years. The abbot feels that perhaps you will be more suited to them than us.
Oh.
Would you guys like to open the coffer?
Yeah.
Well, inside you find an assortment of treasure.
Some beads of faithfulness, which act like phylactery of faithfulness, except you don't need to follow a god. Essentially, what the beads of faithfulness will do is that every 30 minutes, you can cast augury and ask fate what it has in store for you. There's the possibility tome, a grimoire with an array of precious stones set into ornate silver and beaten copper. When you open the book, its vellum pages are blank and pristine, but once it's activated, words dance and swim onto the pages before your eyes. As you flip through the book to find a broad topic you want to know more about, you can make an arcana, crafting, medicine, nature, cults, religion, society, or any one lore skill, and this book will fill with lore on those books, or on that information, giving you a plus 3 item bonus for 24 hours. The spectacles of piercing sight. They have lenses set in silver frame, and they let you literally see through solid matter for 1 minute.
Damn. Oh.
You can see through solid materials up to 20 feet away. Even if you have no light, you can see it as if there were. You can see through 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of metal, or 3 feet of wood or dirt. The light weave scarf, which is some glittering cloth. If you wear it on your armor, you get a bonus to creating a diversion. And if you wear it in your weapon, if you hit someone after you cast an illusion spell on them and activate the scarf and then you smack them around, the weapon will become enshrouded in illusory pattern and confuse the target. You can also use it to cast Dancing Lights, Vibrant Pattern, and Scintillating Pattern.
Ooh, okay.
An unusual flower, which you realize is a blossom from the sal tree outside, the one that's frozen in time. And this particular one is also frozen in time. And you can tell that that would sell for a lot of money. Let's say 10,000 gold.
Oh. Okay.
Lastly, but not leastly, something catches your eyes, Chuji.
Yeah?
A pair of gem-studded golden anklets.
Yeah, what's that?
It resembles something you've seen recently. A pair of anklets of some sort, perhaps.
Could they be of the alacrity variety?
They're quite electric now that you mention it. These are a pair of anklets of alacrity. An apex item that boosts your dexterity, gives you water walk, and it gives you a huge buff to your acrobatics.
It also makes Chuji drool.
Sayan holds out these treasures for you all and says, "Help yourselves, radiant winds." I'm
before
sure.
he even finishes speaking, Chuji grabs fucking anklets.
Not even going to ask you. Okay. All right.
That's mine.
Okay. So be it. He looks at you, the rest of you with like a slightly confused face.
Masami just shrugs.
Chuji, do you put on the anklets of alacrity?
Yeah.
As you put them on, you feel so much lighter on your feet. Oh my god. Yeah, you now have a 21 to your dex. I mean, you have a 21 to your dex and a 21 to your strength. Jesus.
Goddamn. Chuji, like, bends down to, like, put them around their anklets, and they, like, stand back up, and they just start, like, hopping in place, and they feel so fucking good. They're jazzed about this.
Sayan nods. It looks quite dashing on you, even.
Oh, thank you. And they, like, stick their leg out.
The rest of you, help yourselves. What else would you, any of you like?
Oh, thank you.
The spectacles and the light wave scarf are very nice. Mm-hmm.
Is that a tome? I think Senku may take the tome.
Okay, you want the possibility tome?
Yeah, Senku, in a complete opposite to Chuji's, like, oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Very, very gingerly takes the possibility tome.
Okay. Is there anything else you're interested in?
I'm not sure. I mean, if there's stuff that anybody else doesn't want and looks useful, then yeah.
I mean, the beads of faithfulness might be good for you specifically because religion.
True.
Plus, someone else needs to take the augury spell. I can't do it again.
I'll do it. I got it.
Okay, so you take the beads and you put them around your neck. You take the big book and you put it in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
Masami, what are you taking?
Masami's probably going to take the spectacles of piercing sight.
Mm-hmm. Do you want the light weave scarf as well? Because I think it works best with you.
Yes. Yes. Deception checks to create a diversion? Yeah, I'm going to need that.
Well, are you putting on your armor to get better at creating a diversion? Or your weapon to confuse people after illusory spells?
Oh, I do have some illusion spells, is the thing. I think they're just going to take it and they're going to think about it.
Okay.
Because both are very good.
Shuji, would you like to take the unwilting sal blossom and put it in your bag so you have 10,000 extra gold?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, take it. It's yours. As you all finish taking items from the box, Sayang closes it, and he bows a little bit at you all and says, I trust that one day, maybe we'll meet even lives past mine. I'd love that if there were more memories of you all in my many lifetimes.
I hope so.
And he bows before kind of standing up straight and saying, oh, no, where was I? Gatekeeping duty, yes. Oh, I just got here, didn't I? Yes. Oh, it must have been a month ago now. And he kind of just walks away back into the monastery, looking a little lost and confused. Time, man, it fucking works weird up here. Do you guys, it looks like the Arms of Balance are staying here for a little while, but do you guys want to head back to the Solar Jam and make your way to either the Intercessor at Kaifen Bay or the fucking Kaiju Bowl?
Let's get the fucking Intercessor first.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a bit easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no reason to jump into the Kaijus just yet. We're going to hold that one off for a second.
If we're going to die, we're going to die at the last step.
Yeah,
yeah.
That one seems like it's gonna fucking suck.
At the very least, it'll give us a little determination to fucking get the thing done. Just do the damn thing.
Well, you spend some time back on the Solar Jam. You get a good night's sleep, and God knows you've earned it. You chat with Yo and Last Brett about all the things you saw at the Raisho Monastery. And you have a hearty breakfast. All the meals on this thing are... I mean, this is essentially a pleasure yacht, right? Like, it's gonna have really fucking good food. The only bad news... Actually, no, you know what? I was gonna say it's bad news because Last Brett are the cooks. But look me in the eye and tell me Clover isn't the best goddamn chef you ever ate from. Clover knows what the fuck they're about.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think we're going to cut to maybe the afternoon after your departure from the Raisho Monastery. And you're all kind of like leaning off the side as you're flying through the mountains. You can see in the distance the flash of immense silhouettes in thunderclouds hidden away in the mountains, and you don't think about it. How are you guys doing and thinking as you start approaching Kaifen Bay properly?
I think Senku is feeling hopeful and excited. I think he likes this airship thing. I think he thinks it's cool. Plus, I think it does kind of remind him on being on a regular like boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the sky, so I don't think that he's in any discomfort or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's happy.
I think Masami is meditating and definitely not thinking about the kaijus. They are looking away. They are looking away. They aren't acknowledging that they are there.
You hear an elephant-like scream in the distance.
That could just be an elephant. That's an elephant. I will not take any other questions at this time.
Yes, the rare and highly sought-after mountain elephant. You know from the stories that these two kaiju are basically invincible, and the fact that they had to literally be locked away so they could constantly only fight each other, and they have been doing that for centuries, I think tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, they're staring off in the distance towards it and just, like, frowning.
You hear a whale noise.
Ugh. They frown harder.
You guys okay?
Not excited.
Meditating.
Yeah? I believe you guys.
I need focus.
I need a fucking vacation after this.
Those are just animals. I'm not thinking about it.
Oh, so you're thinking about the kaiju, are we?
Shut up, Lolo.
I don't know what you're so worried about. Were you not able to best the king of the kaiju on your own?
No, we weren't.
Why, Shuji?
By running?
Shuji, you took a direct hit from the creep beast. And
Shuji fucking grabs Lolo by the neck. I almost fucking died.
But you did not. You refused to succumb. Great legendary hero that you are.
Yeah, because I'm Lolo. Me. If I were anyone else, I'd be fucking dead. Oh, that's still scary. I'm mortal. Look, you get to die and you get to come back after, like, whatever amount of time, because you're familiar. You don't have the fear of death. We do.
Hmm. You raise an interesting point, Shuji.
Of course I do.
But nonetheless, you have faced greater challenges than two warring kaiju. They're probably not going to even notice you.
I'm counting on it.
Where's wood?
I hope so.
This thing is made of wood, right? Right?
There's some wood around you.
You knock on it.
That will show them, Shuji. Do it
Fuck
again.
Fuck you. Shuji thinks about throwing Lolo off the ship for a second.
You fly.
They do it.
Wow.
How fast Shuji, does he catch up?
What is that about? He flies back.
I'm sick of it.
I think it's...
Lolo. I swear to God, please, I'm trying to meditate.
I think as you're saying this, Masami, your eyes slowly drop and you see Kaifen Bay, and you see something you weren't expecting.
Oh?
On that beach of black sand made of centuries of rusted iron, you see three people are standing on the beach.
Uh-huh.
They do a double take. What?
And you're approaching... from like you're coming in for a descent at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Would you all like to make me a perception check to see how good you can squint?
Sure. Why not?
Sanku, wait. While the others are looking with their eyes at these mysterious figures on the beach, I remind you that you have farsight prepared.
Oh, thank you.
Use your binocular vision to see far away.
All right, let's do that.
So, Masami and Shuji, you two squint, but you can only tell that it's three figures. One average height, one tall, and one very short.
Mm-hmm.
But Sanku, as you use Farsight and you conjure up a watery telescope in your hand and peer through it, your heart skips a beat because you see an occultist, an archer, and a harrower. The members of the Biting Roses.
Woo!
Standing on the beach, honestly looking quite perplexed.
Oh, it's the Biting Roses.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Masami, I think gets up from their sitting position and goes to see, like, oh my god, it is them. It is? It is!
Yeah, it's them.
Hell yeah. How far away are they?
They're like, you're coming in for a descent now, right? Like, I think they can see the blimp coming down.
Yeah, Shuji leans over the railing and screams, Yarika!
You see the fucking, one of the figures jump up and start waving their hands, and you hear from far, far down below, Shuji! Yo says, friends of yours?
Hell yeah!
Well, let's go give them a closer look, shall we? And Yo steers that wheel, and you guys descend onto Kaifen Bay. Small white hermit crabs, wearing scrap metal instead of shells, scuttle in sharp contrast to the black sand of this shoreline. Water wells up in the depressions left by their tracks. The air is quiet, and the sound of gentle waves breaking and retreating fills the air. Bits of metal in varying states of degradation lie among the sand, adding to its glitter. Near the water's edge, none other than the Biting Roses stand looking perplexed by their situation. Yarika idly traces patterns in the sand with a single toe from her unsandaled foot. And as you guys start approaching from the Solar Xian, She looks up and waves merrily at you all. Says, "Hello, everyone."
Hi. What are you doing here?
Well, the funniest thing. After we got onto a boat in Goka, we stayed on board for a time until the captain discovered us and threw us overboard.
What the
so
fuck?
Much,
oh.
So much for being Ruby Phoenix champions. And then Artris puts up a hand and says, "Just then, a pod of whales was swimming by, carrying us all inland." And then Lantondo, the Wirewood Harrower, speaks up and says, "Before a rogue wave wash us all ashore." Yarika kind of smiles, says, "Right place, right time. Didn't I tell you?"
Wow.
I guess.
Well, you sure are lucky we're here.
Man, those Teelers are sure something, aren't they?
You can come along with us wherever we go. I don't want to leave you guys.
No, don't worry about it. And you see appearing behind Yarika is the mantis-headed spirit of Grandfather Mantis, who seems on high alert. I have a feeling that we're in the right place.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I don't know what drew us here, but something wanted us to come here.
Well, since you're here, you can help us.
Hmm? And how can we do that?
We're actually looking for someone. When did you guys get here? Have you seen anyone else here?
We've been here for, I'd say... And she looks at the others, and Artis says, 3 hours.
Have you seen any undead?
She raises an eyebrow, and she gestures at Grandfather Mantis, who...
Well...
Other ones.
Unfriendly undead.
Lantondo shakes their head and says, "No, but I can say that this place certainly has strange energies."
Well, do you know where you're standing right now?
And I think something happens when you say that, Masami. Yarika becomes uncharacteristically sober. The Bay of Blades. It's a legendary place, isn't it? What do you know of it?
After the Ruby Phoenix took the... Well, there were these columns that were going to be destroyed by an earthquake, but they were preserved, and when the Ruby Phoenix took them for her tapestry, it became exposed, and a lot of battles were waged here.
Battles don't come freely, you know. So many souls have been lost here. We heard of this place even back in Arcadia. It's said that the souls that perish in battle still reverberate collectively along the boundary between this life and the next. I hoped that in coming here, I might be able to feel it for myself, and in doing so... And she kind of looks at Grandfather Mantis. Answer some questions about the afterlife. And she, like, inhales. She's being a brave girl. We spent some time preparing the site so that we may be able to glimpse the boundary, but all that remains is to wait. Sunset should bring clarity.
Okay.
All right.
Then we'll just wait until then.
Lantondo says, "Well, it doesn't really work like that, you know. We can't just add more people to our certain." Arthur says, "Yes, we can." And I think Yarika sits and says, "Until then, let's kill some time until the evening. Tell us why you're here. Tell us where you've been."
Senku starts with, "Well, we went to these mountains," and then
yeah. Do you guys tell them everything that's happened? Where you've been?
For sure.
We do.
Okay. You all sit in this like a big prayer circle. You talk for a while. You know, a good while, like a few hours. Maybe play some cards. You find out more about their homeland. You find out how, maybe not from words, but you find out how uncertain Yarika is about Grandfather Mantis. She doesn't know who it is. She calls him Grandfather because she'd like to believe that it is her dead grandpa, the one who taught her all this occult magic. But it could be anyone. It could be anything. And she worries that maybe... she won't like the answer. But not knowing the answer is worse than knowing a one you won't like. I think it's you are talking for a while, and as the sun starts to set, suddenly something happens. I think you're mid-sentence, Chuji, about something. What are you talking about? What are you talking about to Yannicka?
God, they're probably talking about how they bodied that yak.
You're in the middle of, like, saying, and then I opened up a maze to the ruby feet. You, like, you go quiet because you stare behind Yannicka.
Mm-hmm.
A fog is rolling in.
Whoa.
Yannicka perks her head and says, it's time. Everyone?
Yeah.
She links hands with her party, and she gestures that you do the same in your prayer ring.
Mm-hmm.
I need everyone to make me an occultism check. You are all very disoriented by what happens next. The fog passes over. It surrounds the bay, tick and tinged with salt. As if riding a breaching whale, the surface of the ocean comes crashing down, and the beach reappears, but it's not the same beach anymore. The sand is covered in unburied swords, pole arms, and countless other weapons, and the biting roses are nowhere to be seen. The sun barely touches the horizon. Before it, the ocean waves are frozen in place. A lone figure sits on a rock outcropping, dipping her feet into the unmoving waves and watching the eternal sunset. What do you guys do?
Chuji shits themselves, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, the fog is completely green. There's like weapons coming out of the sand where once it was just rubble. And there's a single figure far away from you, just kind of staring off into space.
Chuji is scared, I'll be real with you. They're kind of a scaredy cat.
Hello?
The figure turns and looks at you all. And I need everyone to make me a will save quickly.
Ooh.
Okay, immediate. Cool.
Forty-two.
46 43. With resolve.
I also have resolve.
Path of perfection.
Okay, Chuji, you catch your hand before it does it. Your hand is reaching to take out the Bellico's dagger.
Oh, shit.
Do you stop yourself?
Yes.
Congratulations, that was the right move. With anyone else, it would be fine. But not with the specter you see before you. She's beautiful. Or maybe she was once. A young woman, too young to be dead. She has long hair tied into a high-top ponytail, which still goes down to her back. She is so fit, so full of life, and yet so absent of it at the same time. She clutches two hook swords in her hands. And she seems to be made of the same fog that you see around you. She looks at you all and points a hook sword and says, "Who are you?"
We're the Radiant Winds. We're a group of adventurers. Who are you?
I am Jinhei. I was an adventurer too once as well.
It's nice to meet you.
She does not come closer. She is still standing like maybe 40 feet away. Like you guys are calling this out to each other across the beach, you know? Mm. As those frozen waves just hang perfectly still in the distance, reminding you that you are not in your own world.
She takes a step closer, passing by a katana which is like wedged into the sand. Behind her, a like pole arm with a flag stands with the flag unflapping. How did you all die?
Die?
We haven't.
Then how are you here?
We were looking for you, actually, I think.
Why would you come looking for me? She takes a step closer.
Were you an intercessor?
Once, yes. But I failed at my job.
What happened?
She takes a step closer. She's now 25 feet from you all. One good jump of movement and she could kill you all.
I died.
I'm sorry.
It was my own fault. I took on far more than I should have. I saw myself as righteous. I told myself that heroism came with no cost. And for that I was slain. And I let my partner be slain too.
You had a partner?
Yes, he's here with us.
Oh?
Right behind you.
Hey, Chuji, you feel something on your back. Hey, Chuji, you feel something on your back. It's hot threat.
They turn around. They fucking scream.
Yo, what?
It's a deer. An extremely tall deer. But down its front, it has dragon-like scales. And around its, neck, it has a long, white, scraggly beard. Its eyes are white, and its body is made of the same fog as Jinhei. Those antlers, they are beautiful. That tail, it goes on so long with so many flowing furs. And I think all of you being from Tianxia recognize a Kirin when you see one. It is...
Holy shit.
Standing right behind you all, and it's just breathing heavily. It was not there before. You know that shit was not there before.
Nice to meet you.
Sanku, I don't like this. Is it too late for us to go home?
Yeah, it is.
Jinhei takes another step forward. Her hand traces over a deadly looking kama that is like lodged into a boulder near her.
Let's calm down.
Fight me. Fight me. I can hear it agonizingly in your veins. The blood pumps. You still have a heart that beats. You can still feel the thrill of battle. I need you to fight me. I need you to show me one last duel so I may rest easily at last. I can't move on until I've had one last duel. I need it. So fight me, please. Fight me!
I mean, if I guess if you ask so nicely, like... if it's gonna help you move on, then... fine.
She exhales. Thank you. Thank you.
She bows her head a little bit. And then she draws... two fucking hook swords, swings them and clangs them together. With a gust of wind, Cloud Splitter the Kirin, this phantom beast, surges out from behind you and to her side. She swings both swords and drops into a fighting stance, and she dashes forward, ready to strike the radiant winds with hundreds of years worth of pent-up anger and aggression. This episode of Dice Will Roll would not have been possible without the support of our patrons. Rag, Barden Stormcrow, Sam Stryker, Sokan Ashra, Tony Saunders, Mita, Ari Graham, Arave, Varya and the Girls, GP Dora, Marshmallowberry, Ferrick Falcon, Luis Loza, Ares, Alexander Criswell, May Cohen, Kendra West, Genuinely Trick, Transgirl Trish, Platonic, Bal Punyan, Joanne the Catman, Matthew Wilson Krasnovich, Dylan Shark, Glitch HD, Jay Snooks, Zenith Drums, Torbjorn, Sophia Varlera, G Barbera, Luke, Gideon, Sarah B, Seth, Ravona Darkglow, Kira, Lichalope, Gizmo, Matthew, Cass, Fable McElduff, Ava, Chris Lutman, Remty Bright, Lonesome Chunk, Steph, Sean C, Natasha Lee Lumley, Rhiannon C, Ellie, Jenna Mitchell, Kane Kendrick, Triceratops, Anna Maria, Jordan, Cynical Spinstress, Emily Laderna, John the Bookorder, SS66 Seeker, and Dame Valerie the Third. If you'd like to see what you can get for helping us keep it rolling, check out patreon.com/dicerollroll today!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.